All right, guys. Matt wouldn't stop talking, and I need to have a wet my whistle before I get back into this interview. So we're going to do a part two. Enjoy it.
So I've got a lot of questions for you. So
you can fire away if you like. Yeah, happy to.
But again, you know, like, it fascinates me what gets. You know, you guys aren't making any money for this, and you love beer.
Yep.
What gets you to go through all the process of doing this and editing and things that, you know, now 20 years later that you're still volunteering your time to talk about beer?
It's just a subject that's always interesting. There's always someone has their opinion on it, and opinions are always different and enjoyable. And you can just, like, some people love a certain type of beer and they're adamant that they'll never drink anything else. And other people are willing to explore, but it's not just beers. Like, I've done cocktail bartending. That was my thing way back in the day. I've won a lot of competitions and stuff like that. So flavors for me is what's been important. And that's what I love exploring with people. Like, why do people like those flavors? And there's always new flavors. But I got into travel late in life. So for me, it was, if you're going to travel, you've got to learn to eat other cultures, foods and everything.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And I was a meat and three veg guy from a farm. And so to be exploring all these flavors all over the world, you have to learn that it's not just me, everyone else is doing that.
Yeah.
And that's what sort of leads me
into. And that's why I love the idea of you travel and broaden your horizons, because you can't travel. You never come back from anywhere, no matter how guidebook of travel you are, same person as you left.
No way. There's always an experience to talk about and to share, and that's why Joel and I do this, because to everyone that we talk to, they're people that we look up to, and we hear something about them, or that we enjoy their beers, or it's all different stuff. We've interviewed, you know, a million different people. Million. It's a bit of a stretch. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You'd be closer to a million than us, yeah.
Oh, but, you're getting a few notches.
Yeah. But it's more like, you sort of, everyone's got this cool little story, and it's always different. And that's what's enjoyable for us, because we always know that everyone we talk to is a mate afterwards. Yeah. And I can call up anyone that we've interviewed previously, and I know that answer, and we could have a chat.
How do we, you know, because we're converts, we're the choir.
Yep.
Already, you know, we're singing. How do we get more people to join our church? How do we get more people, you know, having worked in hospitality, how do we make beer more appealing to more people?
Oh, that's the rub, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I actually thought that sours and fruited sours were going to be the thing that would do it.
And for some people it has.
Yes. Yeah, it has. I think what it's done, it's done two things. There's a fly in my beer, and I need to get him out before he lands
Everyone
in my beer.
Everyone will want one.
Whew, I got him before he drank my beer. Otherwise, he'd drink all of it. I think that it's too confusing for new people to come into the venue.
It is these days, isn't it?
Yeah. It's easy to say, oh, I like raspberry, I'm going to try that raspberry sour. And if it's too sour, like if it's stripping your tongue sour, it's very, very difficult to get on board and say, oh, that's a beer.
Yeah.
When if you've grown up drinking Great Northern or 4X or BB.
Or not drinking beer at all, which is increasingly what people are doing.
Yeah. So I think that it's more, like, I think the tasting paddles are excellent. But they need to be educated when they serve. They need to be like, oh, these are the order that you drink them in. These, give them tasting notes.
And
when
they're also
come.
Challenging if you're in a busy bar.
Yeah.
Like that's, they're.
Yeah, it comes back to, and it's the same with cocktails. It's a staffing thing. It's very much a staffing thing.
Yeah.
And there's only so much, like you can put menus on tables with stories and all sorts of things. I mean, I remember back in the 90s when Midori Illusions, and I worked in resorts where we had like 15 ingredient garnishes on the sides of our Mai Tais and ridiculous things, but that's what people wanted at the time.
Yeah.
But we were behind the time, that's what people wanted, so you're trying to give them what they want then and there. But we're trying to work out what people want here and get to that, and I'm not sure that we can without more education. And we've already educated people up the wazoo. People know
That's the thing, and going back to your question about, you know, negatives or things like that, I think my greatest regret, myself and for the industry, is craft beer was always labelled as revolution, and it had to be, because, you know, you have to be against something, and that was the big brewers.
Yeah.
And to some extent, you couldn't be against the big brewers without being against the homogenised lagers that came before.
Yep.
And, you know, and that was very important. I think the craft beer industry held on to that fizzy yellow lager narrative for far too long.
Yep.
Because these days, if I walk into, you know, a restaurant or a bar and even see somebody drinking a Corona instead of a seltzer or a Canadian Club, that to me, I think...
It's a win.
Yeah, it's a win. At least they're getting a taste for beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think we spent far too long running down our beer cousins in terms of the beers. And not the business model, because now the business model is still the same.
Yeah.
And they've
I'm not sure that anyone's figured it out, because if they did, then the big guys would be doing it. They're still doing what they always do. Just keep the marketing going. They change their marketing, but it's essentially still the same marketing. It's drink beer, enjoy, this is the result. Like the Great Northern ads, classic for it. You know, the beer from up here, they're not about the beer at all.
I've completely taken over now.
You're allowed.
I actually don't mind the Great Northern ads in a way.
I really like them, but I think that they've taken on that thing of it's not about the beer, it's about the situation.
But should it be? But again, that's where I sort of think, in a shrinking pie, when fewer and fewer people are drinking beer, they're representing beer in a way that, you know, it's attractive. You know, that it's aspirational in the sense that a lot of people want to live that lifestyle, and they're drinking beer.
Two beers, right? Two or three beers.
But at least, you know, well, CUB have got a whole lot.
Yeah.
And if Great Northern, you know, I can actually support that. And I think that it says a lot of good things about beer. It's the low carb beers at the moment. And you would have heard me rant about this. Low carb beers are actually saying these are better for you. And if something's better for you, then something is worse for you. And that's the rest of the beer industry. And that's bad. So... but again, you know, like it's as you say, if it was a perfect world, we could make it all happen, and it's not.
I think it just does 100% come back to education, but it's got to be the right education. It's I don't know a lot of people who don't like beer.
Yep.
And I still say that there's a craft beer for everyone out there.
Oh, 100%.
There's so many availabilities.
But what is a craft beer these days?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know, like, that was
not,
big.
It's not
it's
a
no
craft
longer
beer.
Malt,
it's
water,
just,
hops, and yeast.
It's just beer, right? And I mean, you only have to look at the bottle plant wall to see how many different bottles they've got here at Brewski.
Yeah. And again, like the fact that there are places like Brewski in, you know, Brisbane, to see them grow, and they've got the bottle shops, and, you know, to see places like this, that's one of the fantastic things about the growth of the brewing industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess if there was one thing that I would really like to drill to the industry, and I'm not sure what your audience is, because it's, you know, whether it's consumers or industry, but, you know,
we don't know either. there's about 40 of them.
But I would say, as an industry, you know, and we all think differently about how we market and things like that, and I honestly think that we really need to look at the things that we celebrate, because the things that we celebrate publicly are the things that we value, and the things that we value are the things that we become, or the things that other people see us as.
Yeah.
And if we celebrate, that beer is the thing you have a conversation over, if beer is the thing that brings people together, if beer is something that we celebrate for its creativity, the way that a lot of it has, then that's the way the industry will be seen.
Yeah.
If we celebrate beer pong and chewies and things like that, then that's the way that everyone's going to see us. And, you know, I think the people that do that don't want beer to be stuffy.
Yeah.
And none of us want beer to be stuffy.
No.
But again, there's a difference between stuffy and lowbrow, or, you know, and
yeah.
maybe
and
that's
I think it's
age.
Just because it's an acceptance thing, though, too. It's like beer is a pretty easy, like it's an easy generational into drink. Like a lot of, like you say about, oh, did I like beer? I loved beer ever since I was really young. My dad used to get me to open his can, and I'd open a can, ask if I could have a sip, and I'd always take two mouthfuls, and he'd pull it out of my hand, and say, "Set a sip, not a guzzle."
Yep.
I've always enjoyed
well,
that.
Well, you're one up on a lot of people because it's a flavour that takes a step up. Because bitterness is something that we have to learn
inherently.
To do.
Yeah, we don't like to enjoy. I loved it. I thought it was always really nice, but don't tell Dad.
an early beer writer had a really great saying. You know, he talks about it. You know, he had his first sip of beer, and his dad sidled up to him and sort of nudged him on the shoulder and said, "It's an acquired taste, son, but it's a taste worth acquiring." I sort of think, you know, that's just such a beautiful thing, and you know, can change the gender and things like that. It's an acquired taste.
Yep.
But I really think that if we celebrate the reasons why we should be acquiring it, and the brewing industry will be much better for it.
Mm. Yeah, it's like for me, I've just always loved it. You ask any of my mates from 15, 20, 25 years ago, I was beer focused from day one.
Oh, if only we could bottle that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
One thing, we've plugged Brewski, who are fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been drinking the Matic wit beer that's on tap. And just going back to what I said about, you know, all things being equal, drink local.
Yep.
But the Belgian beers were my one vice, and that I would sort of drink the imports, and to have a brewery like Matic with, you know, a lovely couple,
so,
you know, all of the things we want to celebrate, making, you know, really high class Belgian beers here.
Yeah. What more could you ask for?
20 years ago, you know, if you said the industry was doing that.
Oh, I remember my first taste of like some of the Belgian beers, and you would be like, they'd always be imports because, as you said, that's all you could get.
Yep.
And I remember walking up to any bar and I'd be just looking in the fridges because all the tap beer was the same, didn't matter where I went. But I'd look in the fridges and, I've never tried that before.
Yep.
I'll get that. And look, it might not have been amazing, but it was different. I got to explore it. And then when I was running bars and I got to order beers, I'd go through the order sheet and I'd go, I've never had that before, and order in a case. And I remember owners saying to me, they're going, "What are you doing? Like, we don't sell this beer." And I'm like, "It's a special for the month. Like, we'll sell it." I reckon I ended up drinking most of these cases of beer over a month because no one was buying them, and I'm buying them out of my own pocket.
Oh, they were innocent times.
Yeah.
I mean, God, if you ordered every carton of beer that you hadn't tried these days.
Yeah, it'd be impossible to keep up. But that was my beer education. I remember one of my favourite beers from way back then, it would be about 20 years ago now, was the Hoegaarden Forbidden Fruit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I wish I could pronounce the... what was written on the
you'd have one over on me.
But all of those beers, and that's the thing, like we now have, you know, within 45 minutes drive of here, a brewery that's producing a lot of those styles.
And it was so good to be at the Indies and see them get up and win that trophy. Jimmy was in bed asleep and Annalise was there on her own.
and that's what I love to celebrate, you know. Again, talking about celebrating what you value, celebrating breweries like that, and you know, they were just the one that I had on tap today.
Yeah. But they're on our list to go down and
annoy them. There are so many breweries.
Annalise and Jimmy will be, I reckon Annalise will be the one I'll be talking to, because Jimmy will be serving us beers and...
he's very quiet and very shy.
Yeah. I love them as a couple. Yeah,
I could tell some wonderful stories about them, but they're going back to what I was saying about celebrate, what you celebrate is what you value.
Yep.
Breweries like that, and there are so many of them.
Yeah.
They're the things that we need to celebrate and make our decisions, because if you don't support it, it goes away.
Exactly. Yeah. If it closes, then it's gone for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's the end of my questions.
That's cool. Yeah. Awesome. I think that this year will be proven over the summer. I actually think that the La Nina, is that the one that we've got? Or
the hot summer?
The
hot summer.
I think that that's going to be beneficial to us all, because I think people are going to want to get out again. They've had a lot of struggle.
Careful what you eat. Well,
I know it's hot, right?
but it's hot. What does that mean for barley? And is that going to drive prices up?
I think there's a lot of...
I know what you mean. A good hot summer. And I know that a lot of breweries are hanging out for a really good summer. You know, it's been a pretty dismal start to the year in winter. And I get the sense that a lot of breweries are holding on for that, and I really hope that it is a great summer for them.
I think it just gives the opportunity. It just gives the chance that more people will be sitting at home going, let's just go down to the local and have a beer, as opposed to if they're sitting at home and they're hot and they just want to see their friends.
How do we get them going down for a beer and not a Canadian Club or a seltzer or a... You know, a hard solo. You know, and this is the and this is the thing.
Beer slushies. Yeah, they've been here before.
I joked about it on my podcast, and I sort of think, well, look, if it's beer that's going into the slushie again, you know, because I love beer. You know, so it's not. It is one of those really hard things. Like I'm 54, and on one hand, you need to know that the next generation are going to make their own. And you can't be the, but at the same time, the benefit of being a little bit older is, you know, I remember the breweries that started in the 80s and the 90s and saw the challenges, and you do start to see some of the patterns. I don't know that I would have a beer slushy, but if someone's having a beer slushy rather than a frozen margarita, I think I'd be hard
pressed. They only work with certain beer styles, right? It's not, you're not going to have a Russian Imperial slushy, I'm sure.
I did a thing on stage at the exhibition a couple of years ago where we were set up next to the Nitrogeni. You know, the people that made the, you know, they would sort of get the cream and put the thing in, then put the liquid nitrogen in and make you your ice cream in front of you. And it was, you know, great fun and great theatre.
Yeah.
And I was on stage, and so I just said, hey guys, could I borrow some of that liquid nitrogen? I just want to mess around and make some beer slushies.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just a bit of theatre on stage.
Yep.
And it was great. Like, yeah,
who doesn't love liquid nitrogen?
But the thing was, I'd made it with a couple, like I made it with a stout, I made it with a couple of things. And so you had this beer ice cream. It was pure beer ice cream. Yeah. It was unsweetened because the liquid nitrogen would actually get it to freeze. But it really amplified the bitterness.
Yep.
And so I think, you're right. You need to be really, really careful with the beer. Yeah. And the funny thing is, if you have ice cream these days, and you have a, even when it's melted a little bit, it is so sweet because I think our sugar taste buds shut down below a certain temperature when it's very, very cold.
Also, more sugar in cream really helps to freeze things at a lower temp.
There's all of that, but you also don't taste it when ice cream is frozen. Yeah. It's only when it melts that it becomes really...
Oh, yeah.
So there's a few challenges involved in doing it, but again, you know, as I said, if it's better that than a frozen margarita.
Yeah, it's not a powdered one. You reckon a powdered beer?
Did you see that?
I'm still not...
and that's where, like, I exhaust myself trying to work out whether I'm a cranky old man or whether I'm a, because I see those sorts of things. And my life is getting sent media releases from every new gimmick.
Yes.
Because I'm working in the news business. And so you get 20 or 30 saying, here is it, and having done it for 20 years, you know, just do the maths on how many next new things.
Yes.
So I get that, and I just think, oh, fuck. Another one. But then, if it actually delivers on the promise, fantastic. But you can see what the problems are.
Like, I love beer. I champion it all the time.
Yep.
But it was good. I think people just need a chance, and they need a reason to give beer a chance. But I think it's the confusion thing. I 100% think it's the confusion there. They're unsure, and things are so expensive nowadays.
Yep.
They don't want to spend, you know, upwards of $10 now.
But when you construct, you know, when there is validity to the thing that you're selling and the thing you're educating about, that's fantastic, and you know, and that, because that's great. But when you're just attributing a whole, you know, like we're about to see an avalanche of, I mean, I don't even know, not better for you beers, but health beers or things that are going to have all sorts of, you know, additives in that are designed to be healthier for us.
Yep.
And they're going to get so much attention, they're going to get so much media attention, they're going to distract so much from core beer. I can't get away from the fact that anything that has alcohol in, you have to be careful with. there is nothing healthy about putting, you know, calcium and minerals and, you know, what is it, nootropics or nootropics in beer, because by the time you've consumed enough beer to actually get the benefits from that, you're hurting yourself from the alcohol.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, and if you're taking the alcohol out, is it really, you know, why aren't you just drinking Gatorade and things like that? And it's, but it is going to be a fad. It's going to be something that a lot of people pin their hopes on or see getting a marketing benefit from.
Yeah.
Which, you know, good luck to them.
Yeah.
But it's going to disappear. And my fear is always, is, you know, like at the end of the day, I love beer. I love the brewing industry.
Yep.
And I think about the sustainability of the product that we love. And if these things are marketed as being, well, drink this, not this, because this is good for you,
yep.
then the only implication that people are going to have is, well, the rest of the beer industry is bad for you.
Yeah.
And that's always going to leave a mark. It's always going to leave a damage. And we've seen, you know, for years, you know, when fats were being demonized,
yep.
People stopped having avocados.
Yeah.
And you're going, well, that's, you know, it's stupid. And then, you know, if people are taking fat out of some things and putting in sugar,
yep.
and then they're taking sugar out and putting in fat, or they're putting salt in, or they're putting these things. And there's never something for nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I think the industry needs to stand firm. You know, I've got images of one of those phalanxes where you've got the horses charging, and you just hold your ground and let them charge, and sort of, rather than joining them, we need to say beer in all of its forms, the way you should be drinking it, is amazing.
Yeah.
We don't need to have all of this
dress it up and
bullshit. Yeah. You know, dress it up for things that add value, but not things that hurt the rest of the industry. Yeah. Just because there's a whole lot of ignorance going on in the marketplace. If you pander to ignorance, you create ignorance.
Yep.
And
that's end up what you'd be trying to fight against.
Yeah, and there's a difference between celiac and low carb, you know, and they're the sort of thing. Celiac is a legitimate thing, but a lot of low carb beer is low carb, by and large, yes, compared 100%. To a whole lot of other things.
Yeah.
So, anyway, mate,
testify.
That's the end of the sermon. You wouldn't know me if I wasn't on some soapbox.
Yeah. Mate, thank you so much for sitting here and chatting with me for so long.
Oh, man, thank you for sitting here and listening.
Like, you've
heard most of that yourself, but before. So, it's been real fun.
Let me know. I'll come on your podcast. Don't worry.
I'm just not used to this camera thing.
Yeah, I know. That's blame Joel for that. I love the camera. I'll talk in front of him and any day of the week, don't worry about that. It doesn't shame me at all.
But mate, thank you and congratulations. You know, it's really exciting to see the stories being told, and you know, thank you for
that. Yeah, I enjoy it. And we do need to say a massive shout out to Brewski.
This is where
we are today. They've got some of the best beers on tap all the time. They've got the best bottle shops downstairs and at Eagle Farm and Cannon Hill as well.
And his aunt, speaking
there
of
devil. There you go, yeah.
We're not saying that just because.
Visitors, please.
You can recognise them. They've got the big IPA sign on top of the bar, and it's amazing. And, yeah, if you've never been here, come and check it out.